Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. Okay, so for today's episode, this is a conversation with a new client, and it's a conversation that we have a lot with people who are new to the market. So I thought it would have some value for many of you, or at least some of you. We discuss particularly old, particularly cheap properties of the sort that you can find in the Japanese countryside, either via local Akiya banks or rural real estate agencies. So they're usually a good few decades old, normally in a state of disrepair or at the very least extremely outdated. And those are very attractive to many people who are looking for a holiday home, particularly if they're the DIY types. And while, like in this case, the buyer might eventually end up going for them, it's really important for us to explain the caveats and the baggage, if you will, that comes with those types of properties, just to make sure that people know what they're getting into and what they're not going for, a cat in the bag, buying into expenses that they can't afford or ending up with a property that they can't use for whatever reason. So a good conversation on a topic that we regularly receive questions and inquiries on. Hope you also find some value in it. Enjoy the chat, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, so I've just had another look at the property that you've forwarded. You mention in your email that it looks livable, but I just want to draw your attention to the fact that it's about 70 years old. Are we aware of that?
Yeah. No, we're aware of everything. To us, what matters is there's no water damage, which means there's no leaks. It looks like there's no water damage. There's electricity and there's plumbing. Our house in the US is like 80 years old. It's even older than that. It's in great condition. I do all the repairs myself, so I'm kind of familiar with, like, you know, house stuff more or less. I guess the point that we're trying to do right now is to buy something very cheap. Because what happened was we bought a nice place in Turkey on the beach with mountains in the back, and Turkey changed the visa laws. So now we have this house sitting there in Turkey that we can't really use. We can't visit it for vacation because you can't get internet there unless you have a visa. So rather than, you know, going through the risk of the same thing, we just want to get something cheap. For the first year, she's going to be doing the student visa. I'm going to do either designated activities visa or entrepreneur visa and open a business there. The first thing we want to get is something cheap that if something happens in the next 4 years, like, we don't care if we, you know, lose it, basically.
Okay, well, just as long as you're aware that you're essentially buying the land. I mean, houses in Japan.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, we know.
They're not really built.
If we can't sell it later, that doesn't matter to us when we move to something bigger and newer.
Okay. Just to finish the sentence, they're not really built to last. They're built from extremely non-durable materials. And when you're buying something this old, it's extremely likely that regardless of what the listing says about existing damages or not, it's extremely unlikely that there's nothing wrong with it at this age. And it's also going to, just to continue to make it livable, you're probably looking at expenses of somewhere between $3,000 to $4,000 a year, just in ongoing maintenance at this age. And that's regardless of whether it needs any actual work done to make it livable in the first place. So as long as you're okay with all of these extremely unknown factors, that's fine. Yeah, we are.
So the plan is, if we get there and, you know, everything's okay with the visas and everything, I'm going to put in like 10 grand to renovate it, because we're only planning to live there for a year, basically.
Okay.
After a year.
Just wondering where the 10 grand figure came from.
Just general estimate.
Okay. A renovation of a house in Japan about this size is usually more like 100, 150,000. So,
but to renovate what specifically? I guess we have like different definitions of what renovations are.
Well, to make it livable by modern standards, meaning make sure, sorry, that the walls are fine, that the roof is fine, that the interior is, you know, brought a little bit up to speed, that the exterior is, you know, termite proof and everything that comes with it, so that the house is, I understand that your standards might be, you know, not typical Japanese standards, but I think 10 grand is just a bit optimistic. It's not going to be able to do much with it. I mean, it might change a few. Okay, for example, to put in a modern bathroom and the modern kitchen is going to be about 10, 15,000 each. So I'm not sure what the 10 grand actually is supposed to do for you. But I mean, look, we're happy to facilitate any purchase you want. I'm just trying to protect you from buyer's remorse down the track. That's all.
Oh, yeah, no. We're fully aware. Like, I've looked at worse properties, and I do a lot of renovation stuff myself. So we're more or less like okay with what we're getting into.
All right, perfect. So and, how can we help?
I'll put it this way. We're coming with 7 pets. So whatever we rent is going to be way more expensive than trying this method as well.
I very much doubt you'll find a place to rent with 7 pets.
Exactly. So, you know, this is more like a placeholder, just in case everything does go right. We just have a place to be, even if it's for a few months before we find something better to buy. Like,
because the permanent place that we are planning to buy, obviously not going to be like $10,000. We are planning to spend a significant amount on a permanent house. It's just this one is literally temporary, like maybe 1 year, and that's it.
Yeah, it's basically money we don't mind if we lose, if something doesn't work out. For the permanent place, we're looking more like a Machi in Kyoto to retire to later on. This is just, you know, complete like
a shack to throw your sleeping bag in. Yeah, I get it.
You never know what happens with the visa. Something might not work out. And rather than trying to sell something else, like rush to sell it, we just say, okay, whatever, just leave it.
Understood. Okay. Well, with all that in mind, as long as you're aware, we're happy to facilitate whatever purchase you want. So what sort of information can I give to you beyond that?
I'd like to proceed.
Yeah, I guess really we just like to put in an offer on that property. I don't know if you know of anything. I saw the document you sent out that you also helped find places. The reason we picked that particular house was we're just looking in the area, which is near a language school, which is for her. That place is like a 7-minute bus ride from the language school. So yes, there's no parking space there. I read in the posting that you can lease a parking spot. We probably won't need it, but if we do, the option is there. So it's not entirely necessary. Yep. But there's a bus there, and the public transit there is like very near the house. So that's more or less why we picked that particular spot.
So like the location, because it's not too rural. It's not big city. It's like a perfect size to kind of just stay for first year. I have my language school. We have public transportation. So it's like the best of both worlds.
And there's a small backyard for the for the dogs.
Yep, understood. Well, I guess, what are you asking, what the process is or how it all works, or what's the question here?
We just would like to proceed and put in an offer.
Okay, so for us to be able to start communicating with third parties on your behalf, like agents, realtors, sellers, and so forth, putting in offers, I want to say conduct due diligence, but there's not much to conduct on this one particularly. Mm-hmm. So we need to be engaged, which means we need a couple of documents signed and witnessed. Have you read through the explanation of services document?
Yep, the two documents, right, like to represent us.
Correct. So two documents signed and witnessed, and then we need our fee estimate paid. Mm-hmm. With the property that you're looking at, and even if this one doesn't work out, I'm assuming you'll be looking at something in a similar price range. So that'll be just a minimum fee. which is
5% or 275,000 yen, right?
Yeah, so it's 5% of 5 million yen, which is 250 plus tax is 275, correct?
Yep.
And that is non-refundable, but that will keep representing you until you end up settling on a property, whether it's this one or another one.
Sure.
And that's basically all we need to get started. So if you'd like us to forward an invoice to you, we'll need a name and address to put on the invoice. And I'll also forward those two forms and instructions on filling them in, and we'll take it from there.
Sure.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
Sure. So filled out a witness for the forms. What do you mean by witness exactly?
Notary public. Needs to be a notary public.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sure. And in terms of money transfer, both for your fee and for the actual... good faith deposit, if that's a thing in Japan, or the actual purchase price. How does that work? Is it an international wire to directly to the person, or is it going to go through you?
So that's entirely up to you. It's not going to go directly to the person because the sellers and the agents and everyone that we'll be working with don't really know how to handle international transactions. They're not going to know what their SWIFT or BIC code is. In most cases, they've never received or sent funds overseas. So that's going to be done through us. And you can do it via direct remittance and let the bank exchange the currency for you, which I'd probably not recommend because their rates are usually not very attractive. They're usually going to be at least 2-3 yen off to the dollar from what the median rate is. So it's a better idea to sign up with a foreign exchange provider. We've been partnered with OFX for about a decade. There are others like Wise or Compass. So doesn't really, I mean, we've got a bit of an advantage if you sign in through us and that you'll get better rates and you'll have access to our account manager there. But otherwise, it doesn't really matter. You can sign up with any of those. And that will be rates that are a lot closer to the median rate. So maybe half or maximum 1 yen off the median rate. So that saves you a good few bucks on a property transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then we receive the funds into our account. We would also need you. Do you know when you're arriving approximately?
3-4 years.
In 3-4 years.
Yeah. So basically, okay. We're taking advantage of the exchange rate right now, and in case because everything is closed down, so yep. We figure that properties are cheaper now before everything opens up again. Plus, the exchange rate is good, so.
I mean, it's possible we'll come visit next year if the borders are open, if we have time. But in terms of moving, it's probably 3-4 years.
Yeah, we've been trying to go for 2-3 years now. It's
Understood. Yeah, and will you need us to do anything in your absence, like organize maintenance or cleaning or yard work, or do you just need us to pay your annual property tax kind of thing? What do you want us to do?
I guess we'll have to think about it.
I mean, you do want electricity and water connected there, right? So somebody needs to be the contact person for the utilities. So I'm guessing until you've got an address here, that probably has to be us. Not an address, I mean residency, until you're actually here receiving post and can show that you're living here. So again, going off that same document that I forwarded, that's a fee of 3,000 yen per month.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3,080 yen per month. And then there's one more annual hour for handling your tax statements and receiving them and filing them. So that's 13 times 3,000 yen per year.
Mm-hmm.
And then any irregular work that needs to be done. So, for example, if during the purchase phase you'll want us to go there and do a viewing for you, or if when we need to connect to the utility, so we'll need to contact the electricity company, the water company, gas company, whatever the property is connected to create that relationship and put everything in place, we just charge for these irregular tasks by the hour. So again, 3,000 yen per hour.
Got it. And you're in Fukuoka, right?
We're based in Fukuoka, but if there's a viewing to be done, we'll probably send one of our partnered agents. They also charge, they're not free, but it'll be roughly the same amount. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's like, is it the 3,000 per hour just for the viewing or for the travel time as well? That's why I'm asking about the location.
The travel time is charged at half time. So if we're traveling for 8 hours, we're only going to be charging for 4 hours because we can work on the train or the airplane, whatever the case may be.
Got it.
And same goes, but the agents charge a little bit more. They charge 4,000 yen plus tax per hour if we have to utilize. So what we'll do is we'll compare the transportation cost versus the hourly cost and see which way is just the cheapest way to do it, whether it's going to be us or an agent that we send. And depending on how long it takes, there's also going to be one or two or three meals involved, which is about 1,000 yen per meal.
Got it. Cool. Yeah, so I guess that's something to think about. In terms of, I guess, picking up the keys and stuff like that, would you be holding on to the keys until we visit, I guess?
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah. And then you tell us, I'm assuming you'll be landing, probably going into a hotel first, so we'll just send the keys to you there.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, I guess... we'll think of any more questions we might have. If you can, just send us the documents and we'll send you the fee, do the notary stuff and send the documents back.
Perfect. And I saw that you wrote your name and address in the chat there. So did you want me to issue the invoice? Are you ready to move forward or do you want to still wait a bit?
No, we can move forward. We're ready to put in the offer to the house right away.
Okay, no problem. So I'll issue the invoice and I'll also in that email include the two forms to be signed and witnessed and we'll take it from there.
Awesome. So the invoice, again, is going to be paid through the bank?
I would advise, number one, the incoming remittances into Japan are usually between 4,000 to 6,000 yen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do want to remit all or part of your purchase budget, as well as the first year management fees, for example, if you want to capitalize on the rates and save on those extra remittance fees, then the moment that you've engaged our services, you can treat us as your de facto bank account. So you can transfer as much as you want here and we'll hold it for you. We'll send you an annual expenses statement and let you know when you need to top it up if you need to. So it's up to you if you want to just remit our fee or you want to remit a larger portion to include also the purchase or part of it. But again, I would advise to sign up with a foreign exchange provider. So our invoice at the bottom will have a link to join OFX, which is the one that mm-hmm. we normally work with. So you can join them. It's free to join. Then you'll be able to get estimates to see how much, what kind of rates they're going to give you at any given time. But you can also compare that with, again, Wise, Compass. There's a bunch of foreign exchange providers out there.
Yeah, I'll have to compare it with my bank because my bank doesn't charge anything for international transfers.
No, but there's a receiving bank charge on this end.
I see.
There's always a remitting bank charge or not, but there's always a receiving bank charge for international transfers. So on the Japanese side, it's between 4,000 to 6,000 yen, depending on how big the transfer is. And your bank, if they charge or not, that's up to your bank.
So if the fee is relatively unknown at the time of transfer, how do you make up that difference, basically?
The fee, what do you mean? Sorry.
So you said if there's a fee on your end, on the receiving bank end, and let's say you say this fee is a few thousand yen, like
Well,
let's say I said.
when you remit, when you book a deal with a foreign exchange provider, or alternatively, when you remit directly from your account, there's always an option to tick, I pay the bank charges, or the recipient pays the bank charges. So it's up to
Got
you.
it.
And if there's a confusion and we end up being 4,000 or 6,000 yen short, that's not a problem. We can charge you on that for later. That's not an issue for us.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll check out the rates there then.
All right, so I'll issue the invoice. I'll send you those engagement forms. The bottom of the invoice will have a link to join OFX if you want to do that. If you do end up going with them, let me know once you've signed up, and I'll put you directly in touch with our account manager just to make your first remittance smooth.
Sure.
We'll take it from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Great meeting you.
Great. You too. Take
Okay.
care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. So there you have it. Not necessarily, as I've said in the call, a case of buyer beware. And again, in this case, the buyer did end up going for a cheaper property, but certainly a case of buyer be aware. Know what you're getting into, what you're going to have to deal with, and make sure that you're prepared for it mentally, physically, and of course, financially. Hope you found some value in this conversation. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time. And until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.